ya lo hace, pierna derecha, directo al arco, golazo, golazo, golazo.
The world of football with a soccer perspective. This is Soccer Today with Dwayne Mullins and Kevin Larame, live on the Sports Podcasting Network.
Good day, good night, and welcome to Soccer Today for Monday, December 23rd, 2019. It is the annual airing of grievances to celebrate Festivus, and I have a lot of problem with you people, and you're going to hear about it. But before that, how you doing, Dwayne?
Merry Christmas. I'm okay. I watched Star Wars in the weekend. Seen it yet?
No, but I don't even know if I'll go see it. But I'm not allowed to say that, I guess, because then I'll get destroyed on Twitter.
Yeah, look, it has a quick review for our podcast review portion here. If you love Star Wars, you're going to love the movie. If you're indifferent to Star Wars, you're going to be confused a lot. And if you hate Star Wars, you probably shouldn't go. So that's kind of my review.
I hope there's some Ewoks in that movie. I'm just kidding.
There you go.
Exactly. All right. We're going to talk about some Club World Cup later on for sure. Look at the Premier League results also from the weekends. And even some racism in London, Tottenham.
Oh, boy.
During the Chelsea and Tottenham game at the new White Hart Lane. But Dwayne, let's start with our annual airing of grievances. It is Festivus for the rest of us. And we'll have the feats of strength later on for Patreon. You and I will wrestle for Patreon later on.
Oh, boy.
No, it's not going to happen. But the airing of grievances, that's how Festivus starts. And of course, it's a little tongue-in-cheek segment looking at our Seinfeld fans out there. Well, Dwayne, what grievances do you have for Major League Soccer? I have a few from the listeners, and I'll read them later on, and I have a few of my own. Your soccer grievances to start and reminisce on 2019.
Over expansion. Slow down a little bit. It's exhausting. We forgot some of the teams that have been put in, and I get you want to get into all these markets, but I'm not thinking that the whole world's going to blow up like the NHL days, but it's still not ideal, and it does look a little bit, you know, pyramid schemey. It's not literally not, but it's really does look bad and poor. So yeah, that's my first grievance with Major League Soccer, is that there's hyper aggression in the expansion market, and we know it's also they lie about it. You never know, this might be the last one. No, it's not. Anyway, yeah, that's my grievance.
That's a good grievance to start. Here's my airing of grievances for 2019. My first one is freaking DAZN. I'm looking at you, DAZN, and I'm not happy with you, and you're going to hear about it. Trying to sign in with a different account or an account, and it doesn't work. It works. Something went wrong. What went wrong? I don't know. Yeah, it's fine. I got it back. But I goddamn can't wait for the day that they realize it. Oh, wait. Maybe we should just create a channel, the DAZN channel, and use it, and still have our OTT. Man, I wish I can watch DAZN on my TV. I know, I should be more advanced technologically, and I should be able to say, oh, I have Chromecast, it's fine. It is fine, it's not a hassle. But I have to change the way I watch something, and we all know how human beings feel about change. Yes, I'm not happy with DAZN.
Well, fair enough. I can continue on that. My grievance is with people that refuse to see a problem with DAZN. They're like, it's not even that they're like fans of it. It's that they're angry that anyone would suggest that OTT was not absolutely the best way to get anything always for everyone. That makes me crazy because, look, there are people that don't have great broadband anymore still to this day. There are areas of both the countries that we primarily broadcast to that have weak zones where you can't get easy internet for inexpensively. And OTT, yeah, the choice involved is perfect. And if you love the sport, if you love it absolutely, it is great. It really is. The choice that you have, like, you know, when City, for instance, played in the League Cup quarterfinals this past week, we didn't have to think about whether it was on. Prior to that, you only had to pick one of the quarterfinals, and it wasn't going to be the City game, so you would have been trying to find another way to look at it. But there are people out there that are casual. There are people out there that just want to tune into a game. Like, hell, the Manchester Derby got pulled off of main TV at the last minute, and a lot of people got shut out from watching it. That's not a way to grow the sport. That's not ideal. And this goes along the way. And I always find it funny, Kevin. A lot of the same people that go on and on about how perfect the zone is and get angry if you suggest anything problems with it and like, oh, my feed's fine, never crashes here. You know, great. That's you, not me. They're also the same people moaning about how much one soccer costs. Like, there's a disconnect there. So,
yeah. One soccer is half the price of the zone. But One Soccer has already talked about maybe the possibility of one day having their own TV channel. So I'm going to include him, but by the bank here to the conversation. But for me, the zone, I do have grievances to the zone. And look, you mentioned the broadband. My internet might be one of the best internet you can have in North America. Like, I'm talking about a lot of like 5,000 megabytes per second. That's how quick my internet is right now as you're listening to this show. Use for this show. So I do not have the problem. I can Chromecast 5 the zone and it's going to be in HD, beautiful, crisp, and everything. That's not the problem. The problem is I had to buy Chromecast for all my TVs. Okay, it's two. Don't sound like 20. But in my studio here, I have multiple screens. I basically have a newsroom and I can watch multiple TV games and I have it on the zone a few times. But because of the way it is built, it's not the most reliable. Like the interface is fine, but the interface is a bit wonky when it comes to having multiple screens at once. And I wish it was similar to other OTT that I've used in the past, but it is what it is. And I wish that it wasn't the same for the rights for a territory, for OTT, and for television. And I think this time around, the big sports channels in Canada, it was all a timing issue and they got caught. Not necessarily lowballing, but not necessarily going to a big bid like DAZN did. And DAZN got the rights for it all said 3 years ago in the Champions League and now in the Premier League. And it's not looking like it's going to stop, but DAZN is gearing itself toward the U.S. market in combat sports, most notably in boxing with fighters like Canelo and Triple G, and looking at other venues like Bellator. They are gearing towards combat sports, and it's a platform built on soccer and combat sports in North America. But I do hope that they realize that, you know what, we can have the feasibility easily to have a channel and be able to cater to everyone out there. I think that's the only thing my grievance is that they do not have a channel only. If you have a channel and the over the top and you don't necessarily give everything on the channel, but you have some sort of 24-hour live stream, I think would be the way for me to stop airing my grievances on DAZN. But yeah, I had to talk about it.
Yeah, real quickly, from a business perspective, I think you have to view channels, conventional over-the-air channels, we'll call them over-the-air, they're cable, but channels nowadays, it's almost a loss leader for these companies, because if you don't hook people that are less hardcore about your sport, you're ultimately shooting yourself in the foot down the line, right? So to me, it makes a business, there's a business argument to have some kind of format that's over the top, and maybe there's less choice on that, for sure. There's one broadcast, there's one game plan. You're not going to have the ability to pick 15 different games. That's the over the top service. That's what you're paying for. And you know what? Most fans are going to pay for that, because I love the fact that, you know, when my team isn't playing, which is usually 10 o'clock on a Saturday morning, because my team is big and it doesn't play at 10 o'clock on a Saturday morning a lot. They like to put them on isolated time zones, right? I like flipping around. I'll turn on whatever game I want to watch first that interests me, and then if that game gets lopsided, I flip to another one. There's the Goal Zone channel on there. I like all that stuff, but that's add-on. You still need some way to hook people in, and I think they're losing out there, Kevin. But my final grievance for this pair will be this. I am sick of people that have absolute belief in how soccer has to work. This is my Festivus grievance of most of all. And I'm talking in particular folks that like declare, and this came up a lot this year with the Canadian Premier League talk, that it can't be a playoff, or it has to be a playoff, or it has to be this format, or it has to be that format. No, there's no right one singular way to do anything. And if you're bound by that tradition, you are being rigid in your thinking, and you just need to get over yourself. A playoff isn't right or wrong. It's just a thing. A single table, it isn't right or wrong. It's just a thing. You could have promotion and relegation. Not right, wrong, just a thing. Stop being so damn rigid. That's my ultimate grievance.
And you don't have to take a team on either side either. You can just be indifferent to it also, which I'm realizing in life is really it's worthy to be indifferent sometimes, and it does make you live a lot longer and a bit less stressful lives. Here, I'll air my last airing of grievances, and I'll move to the listeners' ones. There's a few that sent us their grievances for this year, and you mentioned not to like the people complaining and all that. Also, I want to say, and this is an airing of grievances that a lot of people might relate to, but in 2019, feels like you're only allowed to love one thing. And it's not just soccer. I'm going to use soccer as an example. Dare I say on social media, well, not me, but a lot of people, that you like something or that you prefer something over something else. And we all create teams. Oh, I want to be in that team. And I'm team pro rel, and I'm team pro in the pro rel. And I'm team against that. I'm team against modern football, or I'm team expansion, new team. Whatever the team may be, it's fine. We all need a sense of belonging in this world. And I guess that's where that resonates. But you don't have to have an opponent. You can just be. And I think that applies in the world of soccer. And I'll use this small example. Balut Abla, player of the Montreal Impact last year, he was on loan. We'll see if he comes back next year. He was seen training at a gym really intensively, like big training on difficult incline type of treadmill. And the only thing people saw was not a young 20-year-old training hard, but it was a former Montreal Impact player wearing Montreal Impact shorts and a Toronto FC jersey, Chris Mavinga, that they actually swapped a few months ago together. And that's how he got that jersey. But all that everyone sees is, oh, he doesn't like the team. He was a traitor all along. He sold out. He sold his soul to the devil. Oh, man. Do we really need to find a team, everyone? Can we just be?
Okay, I'm not going to lie. This isn't a Montreal thing versus a Toronto thing, because had it been reversed, had Michael Bradley been training in an Impact top,
would have been the same.
TFC fans would have lost their mind too. So yeah, it's silly, the partisanship there. We ultimately, I call it sports hate, right? Like sports hate is great because it adds something to the game. True hate is not. And sometimes you cross over there, right? If you're legitimately are angry at him because he happened to throw that top on before he trained, and you know he might have been doing that a little bit to point out that he needs, you know, to have something resolved. I don't know, but ultimately, yeah, as you say, this is just an athlete trying to get ready for his season. Even if he were to transfer to TFC, it's not like it hasn't happened before. It's not that it makes him a bad person.
No. And I think we're quick to judge, and I don't know. I just think that can apply a lot of things, right? Famous example on social media over the last couple of days, Darren Dreger of TSN, NHL insider, hockey insider, he talked about, oh, I've only seen not even 10 minutes of Star Wars in my life, and you should have seen the replies. How dare you not say you've not seen Star Wars? Who cares? How about you like what you want to like? You love what you want to love, and you let other people do the same.
Fair enough. I will say that if you've only seen 10 minutes of Star Wars in your life, it's like me and Titanic, the movie. I've yet to see it in its entirety. Hey,
Dwayne, spoiler, you know how that movie finishes.
Yeah, exactly.
The but Titanic sinks. Who cares?
There came a point in my journey, though, where I was holding that up as something more than just me not liking a movie. And I'm sure it's a decent movie, and I'm sure that Darren Dreger would enjoy Star Wars and on some surface level. But yeah, it doesn't really matter. I prefer Doctor Who. Not for everyone. It's a little weird. It's little, and by a little weird, I mean it's really weird.
I like my sci-fi, and I've tried over the years to listen to your suggestions, watch Doctor Who, and every time I'm like, huh? What? I don't get it, but it's all good. I'm glad it exists. That's all.
Watch Blink. That's my episode. Blink's not really like the rest of you. It's the best episode for someone to break it. Anyway.
And Dwayne tried, by the way, for our listeners, Dwayne tried multiple times to explain to me off the air how the heck this sticks and word. I'm like, I what? Exactly. Moving on. What it is. Let's look at the airing of grievances. I have another one, by the way. And it didn't come up here. I was sure one listener would say, Inter Miami, I'm looking at you. Training camp starts in 30 days. Not even. Where's your coach? Where's your coach? Yeah, exactly. You don't have one. Or maybe you do. Maybe it was Beckham all along.
Look, I made it as a joke a couple weeks ago. I as each day passes, would it shock you if David Beckham announced himself as the manager the next couple weeks? It wouldn't.
That would be the most Miami thing of Miami. And looking at how this team has been built since the beginning, since that famous announcement in 2013, mm-hmm. 6 years later, the team's going to be a reality. And yeah, it would make a lot of sense that after months and months of talking about getting the best coach out there, they end up with David Beckham on the sideline.
Yeah, well, Miami has always been a little bit about the sizzle over the steak, right? So why not? Although, you know, that said, I don't mind the build that they have made so far. But yeah, you got to get moving there. Hey, look, I could add the CBA just in general as a grievance too.
Let's start there. Jordan on Twitter mentioned training camps are due to open soon and the CBA isn't done yet.
Yeah, look, I mean, that's not surprising for anyone who's watched a lot of these things play out over the years. Often they'll start the season. And look, if you've never been involved in a labor situation, a lot of us haven't nowadays, but, you know, I've been in a union, not for a while, but I have been in a union that was staring down a strike. And what happens is the CBA runs out, which ultimately puts the pressure on yourself to get moving. But you don't have to have a CBA in place to start the season. And I anticipate that they're not going to, Kevin, but yeah, it is concerning because it's hard to get excited about it. I see all these signings and I'm like, oh, I don't know, is this even going to happen?
It's like, is it going to happen? Not? Is it actually coming? It's like, yeah, I totally understand that because I've experienced it in multiple other leagues over the years.
The CCL too in Montreal. Like, yeah.
That's going to happen. That's the thing. I believe the CCL is going to happen. And if there's anything work stoppage related, either a lockout or a strike for the benefit of not only themselves, but the coefficient with the FIFA and everything, right, over the years. This is important for Major League Soccer, not only for this year, but for the next five. So I would think that they would make the CCL, make the CONCACAF Champions League, and once every Major League Soccer team is out, they cannot, like, forfeit games, right? You cannot forfeit games at a FIFA level. That would cost you a lot, not necessarily financially, but in coefficient, in future considerations and stuff.
Yeah, the only option you'd have if they were on a work stoppage of some kind during that point would be to put your kids in a very uncomfortable situation because like your U20s or U23s or U18s would not be under the CBA, so they could potentially represent the club, but that's not a situation you want to put a bunch of teenagers in.
They become replacement players and they become labeled as a scab. And then for the rest of their soccer career, they will be known as the guy who played when everybody else was on strike. So, no, it's not a comfortable situation, like you mentioned. Here's another grievances from Zach. Zach on social media, at Tommy Curator. His airing of grievance towards Major League Soccer is that it's not back for another 3 months. Well, yes, but training camp starts soon.
Yeah, the off seasons are too long. I don't know what the answer is, though.
What exactly? It's like, hey, we have bills to pay. I don't want to pay them, but you have to pay them. Well, what's the solution? Pay your bills. Our bills here is time. We have to wait. What else? Like, unless we have domes across North America and every team has either a dome and a soccer-specific stadium, then you can play in January.
Look, I've thought about this a lot in the past. The way to do it would be to have a split season, and I don't know if, you know, we saw it in the Canadian Premier League this year, and I don't know if it completely attracted everyone anyway. And I just don't know if people are ready for it. So you would have a split season with two shorter breaks involved there, and you would break from about now till February would be one of your off seasons. But, you know, we both stood in the freezing cold in December in Toronto a couple years ago now, and it wasn't pleasant. So, okay. I mean,
can only imagine even Montreal.
Right.
Can only imagine Montreal if a snowstorm of minus 20, if not 30 degrees Celsius.
You just couldn't play. You games of Minnesota, same difference. And it's not just luck. I didn't mean for this to get into a winter schedule conversation here, but those in the South that constantly go on about this, and they're generally in the South because
They don't understand what a Northeast winter is. And it's not just about playing conditions. You could actually probably play. They have played at BMO in February. And for the players themselves, although the field's awful, it's not unplayable because there's underheating there and the temperature at field level is a little warmer than it is in the air outside. But there's so many other factors going on. You have to get to the stadium as fans. If there's a winter storm, you don't want your fans dragging their ass through icy streets to get there. Like that's setting yourself up for a potential fatality, honestly. You don't want your coaches, your managers, everyone else training in that kind of cold weather because you don't have underheating in your training facilities. It's an non-starter. So yeah, silly. So I don't know what the answer is, but maybe, like I said, a split season would work, but I don't know if people are ready for that. Maybe you make something in your preseason that has more meaning. You could have a mini tournament for a CCL spot. I don't know. That seems silly too, because basically we're stuck with what we got. Yeah. That's your answer.
Exactly. Sometimes you gotta appreciate what you got and stop looking at the grass on the other side. Another airing of grievances from social media. Adam on social media at Zealous, no 8th Canadian Premier League side. He's not happy about it and he wants us to hear about it. And we have, and we share your sentiment.
Yeah, there's some juicy rumors coming out of Ottawa today that I'm looking into, but I'll let you go Twitter out there. I'm not 100% sure of them to say them out loud. But
and there's more rumors and things coming out of York 9 with people, presidents losing their jobs and maybe Michael Petrasso being traded there, according to Thomas Neff. And there's other rumors coming out of Quebec with maybe new owners and things coming out soon. So there's a lot going on behind the scenes, but right now, no official 8th team for 2020, and we don't like that.
No, for sure. Look, I'm calling one of my sources this afternoon to get a little more information. And Kevin and I haven't discussed exactly what Two Saltoons' schedule is going to be this week with the holidays, but
maybe
on
today.
The next one.
Maybe we'll record one later today. We'll talk about it. All right. One of the last airing of grievances for this show, and this is going to start a small conversation between us, I believe. Big Country Footy on social media. People referring to Major League Soccer as a salary cap league when the highest spending team had $28 million in player expenses and the lowest has $8 million. It's a salary management system, not a cap. It's really hurting Major League Soccer.
Well, I'm going to disagree with the last half of that, but that's me. We know my position on parity. It's parity. Anyway, look, first off... Yes, they should label it better. It actually isn't called a salary cap in the official rules. It's a salary budget, which is a different connotation. They're given a lump of money that they have to budget in certain ways with different pockets going around, which we make fun of all the time. Your tam, bam, slam, jam, ram, cam money.
Yeah. Sounds like you're saying you're the little drummer boy right now. It's in the holiday spirits. Yeah.
I've always disagreed with that. Like, oh, the highest. Yes, because there's 3 DPs, and we all understand there's 3 DPs on every team. So it's not like anyone's being limited to not spend that money other than their own financial resources. And that's just the reality of the world, right? I hate hard caps in leagues because it takes away from quality. Like, what do you want? You want to like dumb down the league? Like, you think that's better? That's my question to people that say it's generally people that say this are frustrated because their team can't afford to spend up to the highest level. I get that from a pure sport perspective, but from a neutral perspective, I think you want the league to be able to be as good as it can be. Look, I can tell you front right, bingo card, rook time. The NHL, I have never paid I can pinpoint the exact moment I stopped paying that like intense attention to it. It's when they put the cap in. It became boring to me at that point. It's the same. It's different uniforms playing each other, kind of the same. Like the idea you have to give up stars because you got good is ridiculous to me. It's absolutely insane to me. Why would you want that? I mean, I grew up watching hockey in the 80s. So, like, I saw those great Oilers teams, and I hated them. I hated them. But they added so much to the conversation because we don't have teams. Like, who do you hate in the NHL now? And it's why would you want that? It's good to me that, you know, I agree that you should label it better, but it's good to me that Toronto's a bad guy to a lot of people, that Seattle's a bad guy to a lot of people because they have more money to spend. That's good to me. I think that adds value to the league. That's my take on it. I've said it before. I'll stick to it now.
Yeah. One thing, you know, when you're talking about, and I'll go back to my youth days, and one concept that to this day I guess I understand and I talk about it a lot, but I still don't grasp. For me, if you win the tournament, if you win the league, if you win something, why are you the last one to pick your player for next year? That's I don't get. You reward the worst team in the league. Why? No. You win the championship, guess what? You pick the next player. And guess what? The teams are not happy about it. Then they beat you during the regular season next year, and they get to pick the best one. That I never understood. Why do we reward the worst team in the draft except of giving it to the team that actually earned it?
Parity is a artificial construct that has been manufactured by owners to protect their investment and has been spun to fans as beneficial to them, to the fans. It's not. It's about the owners, about making sure that everyone thinks that they have an equal chance to win a championship, even though in reality, just as the viewer said, it's not true. Even in a cap league, there are other ways. Again, with hockey, because it's the sport outside of soccer I know the best, look at the city I'm in. And even though they were wildly incompetent at it for years, we now see how the wealth and power of MLSE can overcome other issues with scouting and with the stats department and with everything else they do that they can spend that isn't cap related. And I'm sure it's the same in other places too. The Canadian teams in general have that advantage over the American teams, which is a unique situation in sport, but it is in hockey. It's the case, right? And in a league that isn't even professional, the OHL, the same teams win all the time because they have other advantages they can take advantage of. There's no such thing as parity. Parity is just cost controls for owners. So it drives me nuts when fans hold it up as this great thing that fans should desire. Why do you want to lose your players? And you're speaking of a draft, which is a ridiculous idea. But anyway, that's
true. Right? And it's a special show, right? We were gonna try to talk about other things, and it's been 27 minutes. We're gonna finish the show on our grievances. But Dwayne, to me, when you look at example, the Montreal Canadiens and their history in hockey, 24 Stanley Cup, and let's not forget that there was no such thing as drafts and stuff. They were because they had a pool and they had a good network of scouting people, and it is in soccer. To me, it makes more sense. I don't know if it's because I wasn't really truly brainwashed. I didn't drink the Kool-Aid over the last 30 years of my life to truly understand sports in a different way. I guess I just stay with my little kid's mindset. It doesn't make sense, or doesn't it make sense? And when you tell me that, yeah, you win and you pick last. Example, if you go to the schoolyard and you have your friends there, or all your teammates or your classmates there, and you pick teams, right? First of all, the captains are usually the two best, and they pick whoever. Is it fair? No, and I'm not talking about discrimination on there. I'm just looking at the best talks first, the best speaks first, because they earned it, either by reputation or by winning. And maybe that's one of the things that I never got into sports, and with the years, it just seems like it's normal. But I guess it isn't. If you win, you should draft first, maybe, or at least have first dibs on something, or maybe not. It's the airing of grievances, and I guess I have a grievance against drafts.
We agree. We're on the same footing here. And look, as you say, it's what you're used to. If you talk to a European fan, there's things, and this is, we talked about the rigid thinking earlier on. So yes, I'm not rigid in this. I get that this is in North America. We have to respect some of the traditions over here as compared to Europe. But at the same time, I gravitate more towards European models across the board. The great irony, of course, is the European models, much more socialist area in general, is much more capitalistic when it comes to sports than the very capitalistic in every other way American sports, which somehow get socialist when they do this. It's a weird dichotomy that. But
well, here's the difference. And it's the capitalistic aspect of European sports is on a club-by-club basis. And it's very different for each club. When you look at the capitalistic nature of North American sports, it's made into a way that every club is similar, where everyone will profit with either property rights and revenues and revenue sharing and the image likeness and selling whatever. So there's the difference. The league is way more important in North America, right? You have the NFL and the NHL and the NBA and MLS. everywhere. The logo, the name, it's built to be something. It's not necessarily the case with the Eredivisie, but Ajax, yes.
Yeah, well, no, for sure. It's much more individualistic, for sure, over there. Yeah, no. Ultimately, though, you know, really, I guess, in this, as we move away from the grievances and move towards the goodwill, is that we should all just be a little less rigid and just accept that everyone will be out there trying to enjoy the sport in their own way, unless you're Manchester United. Then they, you know, they're the worst. So that's my ultimate grievance, Manchester United.
Manchester United is Dwayne's ultimate grievance for the fourth year in a row. On that note, let us know which is your grievance in the world of soccer. You can let us know at Soccer Today SPN, at 24th Minute for Dwayne, and at Kev Laramie for myself. I'll say goodbye to my nice little aluminum pole and my special studio for today. We'll be back tomorrow with our last show before Christmas. On Christmas, we'll have our top 10 moment of the decade in soccer in the world. And on Boxing Day, the MLS top 10 of the decade. And coming back on Friday, December 27th, live with another edition of Soccer Today. But until then, you can find the podcast version anywhere you find your best podcast, and video on YouTube, Facebook, and live on Twitter at 11 a.m. Monday to Friday. Until tomorrow, as always, for Dwayne Rollins, I'm Kevin Laramie, and we wish you a great soccer.
You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcast.